Hello, I'm your host, Leonard Duncan. Welcome to a new episode of ATV Talk and Motorsports Podcast. Please join us every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We bring you interviews with industry professionals, live events, live news about the motorsports industry in every episode. Enjoy the show. Whether we are out riding with our friends and family or racing in extreme environments, we all need good tires. That's why I recommend GBC Power Sports Tires, a division of Greenball Corp. Their products, which include XC Master, Mini Master, and Groundbuster 3, are what leading professionals in the ATV-UTV industry are using. You can get your tires at greenballtires.com or find them on Instagram as GBC Tires for further inquiry. Are you looking for the best suspension technology for your sport ATV? Look no further than Elka Suspension, the industry leader in sport ATV suspension technology. With championship wins in prestigious events such as the Dakar Rally, SCORE, Best in the Desert, ATV MX, Cross Country, and Works, Elka Suspension has established itself as the go-to choice for athletes and enthusiasts alike. But they don't just stop at ATVs. They're constantly expanding into new markets, including UTVs, trucks, SUVs, pit bikes, snowmobiles, and more. Their commitment to innovation and quality means they're always looking to improve and adapt so you can enjoy a smooth ride wherever you go. Want to learn more about what Elka Suspension can do for you? Visit their website at elkasuspension.com. or give them a call at 450-655-4855. They will always be happy to answer your questions and help you find the perfect suspension solution for your needs. Tri Sport, welcome back to ATV Talk. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, Leonard. I hope you've been well. I've been MIA for a while. I haven't been on a podcast in a long time. I'm really excited for this. Fortunately, I have been putting in a lot of work on what I need to do, riding, training in the gym. I'm actually in the gym right now. I just got done with two workouts. But yeah, just been having a lot of fun, really gelling on the bike and excited to talk to you and, you know, get everyone up to date on what I've been doing and see what you got for me.
Well, I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, okay?
Oh, boy.
No, you're going to love this because you're going to be able to explain it all to everybody. So there's a YouTube video out there with you and some motorcycle guys. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So I've started this YouTube thing recently, and it's honestly been something really cool. There's been a lot of great engagement. There's obviously always those negative comments. People just don't really like quads, but yeah, I've just been trying to bring this channel to people, for people. I'm a professional ATV motocross racer, and I want to show just fans that are interested in the sport, that want to be involved with the sport, that don't know anything, or just your regular, you know, YouTube viewer, that there's so much more to ATV motocross. And there's this very serious side where we're in the gym, you know, training with my trainer, and, you know, we have to take it serious with, you know, everything else, but we also have fun at the same time. But just a little bit about that video. There were two, one kid who used to ride dirt bikes. I don't think he was very high level, but he was like, I want to ride your quad. I want to ride your quad. And so, you know, I got done with my day and I was like, go for it, try it out. And he actually did decent, was very sketchy, but did really well. And then there was a guy who races pro supercross and he, you know, he knew how to shift the thing obviously, but he didn't look super comfortable on it, but he said, you know, it's gnarly fast, like we all know, and he enjoyed it. They just, it sucks because they're in season, so he has to be smart. But yeah, it was a really funny video. It was a fun time just getting to see those guys ride it. And the engagement on YouTube has been great. People think that quads are easier to ride than dirt bikes. And yeah, they think we're sissies for riding quads. It's unfortunate they think that, but I just want to bring people great content and just show them so much more about, you know, the in-depth of the sport.
Every motorcycle guy I've ever spoken to that rides quads or has came from the quad said that's a total myth.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think like the high end, the elite level racers, like there's Mitchell Oldenburg, a top five 250 guy right now. Cheyenne Harmon, John Short, all those guys come out here and they ride Supercross. And I've let them ride my quad before. And it's the elite level of any sport. It doesn't matter if you're playing, you know, cornhole, bowling, motocross, hockey. I feel like it's an elite level. It takes a special, you know, ability, and it's something that you have to dedicate your life to. And I think a lot of people struggle to realize just because we're not getting the coverage doesn't mean that there's not, you know, five guys, six, seven, eight guys that aren't taking this serious. And yeah, that's really where I want to bring this YouTube in. And I'm fortunate enough, my parents have allowed me to do this, you know, with everything that we have here, and really, you know, show people that our sport is very serious. It's legit. And, you know, it takes a lot of training, just like motocross, and give us some exposure.
That's awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, it just helps us bring your story out, and, you know, you'll be able to pin the link to this episode on your YouTube channel, and, you know, they'll be able to check it out. It's pretty awesome stuff. Let's go back a little bit, because you and I haven't spoke since
post Quad Cross Nations, my first ever time, or was it before last season?
No, we talked before you guys went. We never talked, and I think we talked with one Instagram live when you returned. But since then, yeah, I didn't get to talk to you at all last year during the season at all. And here we are. You've been to two Quad Cross of Nations. You guys have won them both. Guys, can you reach back a little bit and tell me how you're feeling about that?
Yeah. Just going into Quad Cross and Nations this year, I've felt, you know, comfortable with, you know, I knew what I needed to do, and, I sort of executed that perfectly. I was in Illinois. I rode with Chad a bit, and I felt my pace was pretty good. I took it, you know, pretty serious this year. And I went there a couple days early, and, unfortunately I did get sick right before the race, and I was terrified. But I felt pretty good race day. And just going over there, as you can see, I'm sure from videos and stuff, the atmosphere over there is insane. The people are, you know, amazing people. And I really, you know, appreciate the fans over there, and they bring a great energy. But yeah, it was insane for me this year. I went 2-1, and I got second for the team. And we ended up winning gold again, which is great. But yeah, it's a blast staying with Chad and Joel, my two idols, you know, and now they're my competitors, unfortunately, but I still look up to them, and I'm very grateful that I get to go over there with them. And it's just everybody, it's a whole team effort. Harv does everything. Mark, you know, does a lot for my program and for the whole team. Jody went over there, my mechanic, Tyler, my whole family. My girlfriend's family. Yeah, it's an awesome experience over there, but this year went really solid. I was leading the first race, and then Joel was riding really well, as he did all year, and passed me. And then this one with Chad, I started behind him, and I don't think he realized it was me at first, but up the hill, I stayed in it, and I didn't really want to get roosted for super long there because it was pretty rocky, gravelly. But yeah, I got the lead and just rode my race, and like I said, we made it happen. But that atmosphere, like I've said over there, it's crazy. And it's a really, you know, it makes me want to continue to race. And as, you know, I'm here right now, and it's February, I'm ready to go. And I want to, you know, really create good results this year to try to get back there next year. And, you know, it's really helped me immensely just you know, really take that next step and make sure I'm committed 24/7 and not slacking off, because it's rewarding to go over there for sure.
So you, in 2023, you came off a pretty stellar year with wins and second place in points. Where do you think that you're going to, I mean, there's only one more step up, dude. And Joel has got a pretty strong stranglehold on it. How are you feeling about about your level?
Yeah, no. What's that? No, yeah. Joel, I mean, we all know he's probably the fastest ever quad racer, arguably, I would say, and somebody I've watched since he went pro in 2011. He's always been the fastest. But, you know, I try not to worry about the other racers or, you know, what they're doing or where they're at or, you know, how good they're riding. And that's something that helped me last year. I felt prepared myself and I did the best of my ability. I got second. You know, I capitalized on the mistakes that happened at the start of the year and sort of just ran with the opportunity I was given. And, you know, it all worked out at the end of the day. It was a little too close for comfort at Loretta's, but the track did not suit me at all. But I'm just going to keep putting in the work. I feel really comfortable with where I'm at right now. We did some testing with my trainer and my cardio is better than it was last year, which is a great thing. I'm practicing starts every single time I ride, so that should be better. One of the biggest things last year, I felt my starts were lackluster. They were terrible, and that's something that I knew. And as you know, it's very important to start up front. It makes it a lot easier. Like Sunset, for instance, I started in eighth, and I went all the way up to the third on the last lap, but you're not going to win races starting back there. And I know that, and it's something I'm working on, but yeah, all in all, I feel really comfortable on my bike this year. I feel even better. I feel like I'm gelling with the bike and yeah, I'm just going to keep putting in the work. I'm surrounded by great people. My parents have gave me a great opportunity to go out there and compete at the highest level. And yeah, that's just what I want to do. I want to, you know, do everything I can. If I beat Joel, you know, that's my goal. Obviously, my goal is to start out front, but he's a great starter. He's a great racer. He's fast. But as all as I can do is, you know, be prepared for whatever and give it my all. And that's what I'm going to do.
That's awesome. That's all you can do. You talked a little bit about your trainer. Did you go into this 2024 season with a different training setup than you had in 2023?
I think Quad Cross and Nations was a little bit later, so I did take a little bit of time off after that, but we've been doing a lot of cycling, same trainer as I've had the last 2 or 3 years, but no, I've just been taking it really serious. He came here for a week and you know, really locked in and made some progress, and we got a good baseline of where we're at. And we're going to do a test in a couple months and see if we're, you know, progressing, which we should be. But no, I got a good trainer. He holds me accountable. He puts up, you know, I feel like a good workload. And I know if I do that and follow through, my best results will come. And that's, you know, what I did last year. And you saw what happened. So, yeah, I'm just grateful for, like, everybody that's helped me. Mark Baldwin, he's, you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing this still. And just, yeah, I have a great group of people, and I'm excited to, you know, just keep getting more confident every time I get on the bike and feeling the way I do right now, and just, you know, getting better every time, and hopefully, you know, the results will come.
You know, you always have been slender and thin. To me, your face looks thinner, but your body looks more muscular. Is it something you're doing with a diet change, or are you lifting more weights, or is it just the illusion that I haven't seen you in a while?
I might be getting a little bit older, more mature, manly strength. No, honestly, we've been doing a lot of, you know, a little bit of weight, just maintaining where I've been, but doing a lot of cardio. The numbers that I got from the testing that he came down here and did, I was actually pretty pumped with. So I'm definitely more fit cardiovascular wise, probably same, you know, muscle mass wise, but as long as we're not getting arm pump, I don't care how big I am, how small, you know, my arms are. Arm pump's the one thing I do not want. And I'll lean on my cardio for the rest of it, but you know, where I'm at right now, physique wise, I feel good, you know, and, yeah, I've just been riding. The first day I rode 12 or 15 minutes, and that's a pretty good first day. Like one moto was 15 minutes. Usually it's like 6 to 8 minutes, and I'm like, whew. But no, this year was a good start to the year, and And Brady coming down here was a really nice boost to let me know that we're doing better than we were last year at this time.
That's incredible stuff. What else have you done? Any bike changes, anything like that? Or are you pretty much running the same package you ran last year?
Yeah, it's the same package. The only thing, no bike change, but the one thing I would like to do is obviously suspension test. A lot's changed since last year. I feel I'm riding, you know, the pace, if not better, obviously, that I ended last year with. So I'm faster, you know, so I need to get the bike adjusted for that. But I feel like my bike right now and the way I feel on it, you know, I can trust what it's going to do 24/7 on the track. And, you know, I know sort of when it does that, you know, why it does that, and I know what to do and how to react to it. So, yeah, I'm riding the same bike. Only thing I have changed is I'm trying to LTR throttle out. I did change pipes to RP, and I've been really stoked with how, you know, my bike's performed. Mark came down here, and honestly, the bike got a little bit better. The power was, yeah, really good, and I feel comfortable on it. And yeah, I just really enjoy my bike, and you know, I like what I have on it, and I believe in the products I have. And I know it sounds maybe silly to say that stuff, but it helps at the end of the day, you know, when you throw your leg over it, believing in the bike. It's not, you know, it might not matter how fast it is or whatever, but if you have the confidence in your bike and you know you like what's on it, you know, it's that little extra boost. But yeah, not a ton of changes. RP and the LTR throttle is about it, but it's all a positive thing. I haven't went backwards any on any products or anything. So yeah, we're rocking with what got us second place last year, and hopefully, you know, we can make it a little bit better this year. Hopefully it rains all year. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm gonna ask this question first. Mud, it does look like you're going to have a wetter season forecast wise. And you're good with that?
I'm good. This time I scratched my eye twice, 2 years in a row at Pleasure Valley. I'm wearing swimming goggles under my goggles. No, I'm just kidding. But if it's, I mean, I don't prefer the mud. I know Mark really doesn't like the mud, but wherever we get results, we're ready to race in. I enjoy the mud if it's, you know, once every seven races, five races. Every race would suck a little bit. It would definitely add up on my parents, but whatever. As long as I'm riding good and we're all happy with what's going on, then whatever comes our way, we're gonna, you know, deal with it.
Just deal with it, right? Go race. Wherever you come out is where you come out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not as bad as Pleasure Valley again, because that was gnarly, and following people for that long was crazy. But hey, the end result, I didn't think I would make the pass, but we made it happen, and I won the overall there. But yeah, no, I don't care if it's a little rain, that's all right. A lot of rain, you know, I wouldn't prefer to race in, but dry is definitely my preference.
So you spend a lot of your life training and riding and focused in on ATV racing. What does Bryce Ford do to relax his mind and get away from racing?
That's the problem. Bryce Ford just thinks motorsports. If there's a dirt bike in the shop, that's what I want to ride. If there's a quad in there that's working, that's what I want to ride. No, I'm just kidding. But just really lately in life, I've just tried to improve myself, take care of myself, and just, yeah, really try to better myself, just health-wise. But I like to, you know, drive go-karts. I tried to golf a little bit. It's a little rough, but we're trying. Just anything fun, hang out with people, go, you know, out to dinner. Just the little things. Hang out at the racetrack. But no, I love racing. It's something I've grown up with, and that's a weird question for me because I've raced all my life, and it's sort of something I do probably 50 weeks out of the year is train for this. So yeah, I don't do a ton. YouTube, I've been doing fun activities, Minute to Win It, with some friends, going to an arena cross race, racing stuff. But now just anything that involves racing, go-karts, cars, drifting, you know, I love.
So do you have a drift car yourself?
No, but if it's raining, anything, it's a drift car, truck, van.
Do you have enough room on the property for that, or do you have to go somewhere else?
If it's dirt related, we can go anywhere at our house. If it's concrete related, my dad's pretty stingy on not marking up the concrete, so we try not to do anything too crazy. But no, I mean, we've done some fun things. I went and bought a car in my first video. We were jumping that, and then we blew it up. I almost died, but that's beside the point. But yeah, just anything we can do around here, ride pit bikes, I enjoy. We rode them, you know, at dark the other day. When it warms up, go on the lake a little bit, really, you know, just kick back and enjoy. But honestly, right now is all I think about is riding. If it's an off day, I'm trying to recover the most I can to get ready for the next day.
When you go ride, do you have another person that you're riding with that's it could be your rabbit that you chase them down, or that may be pushing you from behind? You know, like another riding or training partner?
Yeah, so that's something that's definitely a little different this year, which is unfortunate, but I'm happy for my brother. He's opened up a business, and he's been doing really well. Yeah, been really successful with it. He opened up an excavation business. So he's been riding on the weekends with me, but I've had a younger kid, Caden Pearson, who's raced the ATV National Series. He's from around here. He's been riding with me every day, and we try to put him up front enough. But honestly, at the end of the day, I do chase a stopwatch some days. Some days we don't do that. But I feel confident in myself, and I think I hold myself to a standard where if I'm riding slow, I'm not scared to tell myself or, you know, try to improve out there and hang it out a little bit and tip over. But no, I do not really have a rabbit this year. Some days I do, but I really push myself. I'm self-motivated for this, and I definitely think it's going to be a little different. Obviously, my brother won't be riding with me as much this year, and he hasn't been, but we're going to make it work, and it's just something I'm going to have to push on myself and trust my, you know, my instinct of, am I completely exhausted when I'm done riding, or am I, you know, do I still have energy left? If I have energy left, I didn't try hard enough. If, you know, I come back and I'm tired, then, you know, we put our all into it, and I'm happy with that.
How many tracks do you have there at your facility?
So we have a motocross one, and we just redid it, which is nice. So it's a little bit different of a layout. And then we have a little Daytona replica track. It's just tighter, a lot more jumps. The turns are closer. They're bermed up a lot. And then we have a supercross, like not for quads. So we have two ATV tracks. And then you could ride dirt bikes on all three.
Can you take your dirt bike out on the supercross track? Or I mean, can you take your quad out there? Can you ride your quad on the supercross track?
If I won the lottery and I was like, you know, I don't have to do anything the rest of my life, I might try to ride it. But I will tell you right now, there is no way that I would go out there and ride that just for fun. That stuff is gnarly, and I give those guys respect and credit. An ATV just cannot work on that track. Just the travel of the bike, like a table on, table off, the quad, you would be able to table on, but you wouldn't get that preload bunny hop off. You would just drive straight into the off. And then, like, the whoops are absolutely insane. The only way to do it would be take the berm out and hit it fourth gear licked. And if you get sideways or you stick the bumper, you're going for one. But there's no way you could come out of the turn and try to gain speed. Because on a quad, you're just going to lose speed. So you gotta commit. And yeah, I mean, I've rode my dirt bike on it. I've doubled, you know, the rhythms. I would love to take it serious and just, like, get decent at it. But I don't really have that much off time if something went completely south. But no, I respect those guys. I will not take an ATV on that track. I'm out.
It's that aggressive, huh?
It's gnarly. I'm telling you. Like, I would hit probably a triple, like a 75 foot just by itself, not a rhythm section, but a triple in the finish line I would hit, but I would have to, you know, stiffen up the suspension to where if I don't make it, my wrists are going to break. But if I land on the downside, I'm good. Because just the transition, the bottom of the jump is, it goes like, you know, it's straight up like that. So we would just bottom out where they just rop. But it's gnarly.
How much cross training do you do on a motorcycle?
I didn't ride mine much this year. I was sort of over motorcycles, ATVs at the end of this year, but I usually try to ride it some, but I didn't ride it a ton this year, probably 10, 20 times. But it's fun. It works out different muscles. You definitely have to be a little bit more disciplined with the form. But it's nice when you have, you know, all that travel. It's definitely a little bit easier, I feel, to get on a dirt bike and go out there and have fun and be, you know, not A class, but, you know, decent on a bike and be able to hit jumps.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's much easier to ride a dirt bike than it is a quad. But there,
yeah, just the hard thing with the quad. The hard thing with the quad is when you stand up on the pegs, you're like over the bars. You know, on a dirt bike, when you sit on it, you're like this. You know, you really sit in it, and that's when it gets hard. I feel like those guys, you know, think it might be easy, and they hit a kicker. And, you know, you're over the bars and it's just going to buck them right over. And like in those videos that I've filmed, the track hasn't been rough and rutted and the faces aren't really bad. So they're okay and they can get away with it. But if the track was rutted and had braking bumps on it, that's when it would be really tough for them to ride a quad.
Would you like to see some of the 450 Pro guys come out and ride the professional ATVs just so that they could get a taste for what you guys really go through?
Yeah, I would love for that. And like I was saying earlier, I think it's so hard because those elite level guys, like all the guys that come out here, you know, they know our sport's not, you know, as televised and everything, you know, pushed as hard, but they definitely respect the quads. And like the ones that have rode it, they don't really, you know, want to mess with it. They know it's hard to do, and it can get dangerous if you fall off and wreck. I feel like the people who are, you know, hard on quads are the guys who are C class and don't even know how to ride a dirt bike. But I mean, it's cool. It is cool to see those guys ride it, and they're just like, you know, they're mind blown. They're like, whoa, that thing has that much power. Because when I ride it, you know, I've been riding it a long time. I'm pretty smooth on the throttle, just like they are on their dirt bike. And then they ride it and they're like, whoa, you know, but it's cool. And it would be cool to get, you know, the top five 450 guys, top five 250 guys, and show them what an ATV is like. And, you know, hopefully one day my YouTube grows enough or my social media platforms and we can do something like that.
That would be pretty awesome. So if you get, you know, tired of the track that you have at home or the tracks you have at home, where do you go when you're not riding at home?
I'll go to Illinois some for maybe in between a race. Florida, I did in between a race last year. But really, I enjoy my track, and I feel like the level I'm at, you can always improve no matter what the track's like. You never have a perfect day. There's our tracks two lined everywhere. So it's like, you know, switch up the lines, take your seat off. There's so many things you can do to improve, and our track gets really rough. It gets, you know, simulation to a real track. So I feel like there's things I can always be better with on my track. So I don't ever really get bored of it. If I get bored, you know, I'll ride that Daytona style track, which is shorter. It's honestly harder to ride because there's so many turns, so many jumps. There's so much stuff going on. And when you get behind somebody, it's really hard to pass them. So it definitely benefits me there. But yeah, I really don't get tired of it. We changed, like I said, we changed our track this year a little bit. which I feel like will help, you know, change some sections so you don't know how to hit everything. You have to relearn that. You get the adrenaline, you know, just so you know what that feeling's like. So when you go to a race, you're comfortable with being uncomfortable. But yeah, I really don't get that feeling of I'm ever tired of my track. I get tired of Texas when it gets 110 out and you don't even want to go outside. I get tired of that, but the track, I really love it because we can let it get as rough as we want. It can be as dry as we want. You know, we can overwater it and have mud all over our bike and, you know, somebody's not complaining. So there's a lot of benefits, you know, of being the only one here, you know, me and my brother, and our track is fun to me.
What's the lap time generally on it?
So last year it was like 2 minutes, and right now it's 2:10. But the Daytona track is 45 seconds a minute, whatever our race, it's pretty close to whatever the Daytona race time is.
That's so you try to lay it out so it's similar style for training.
Yeah, purposes. Maybe it might not be like the layout, but the jump spacing, you know, how busy it is pretty similar.
Right, right. What's the is your track directional? So can you switch and go backwards on it at all, or are the jumps not allowing you to do
that? No, it's one direction. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. If it's a watered track and then it gets dry, it's like a completely different track. It's, and I'm sure other places are like that, but I feel like, you know, I'm comfortable here. You know, I know what it's like, the soil when it's wet. And then when it gets dry, it's like riding High Point, but with ruts. So it gets like the speed difference is crazy. And like before High Point, we won't water the track as much. So it gets a little bit blue grooved, hard packed. And then let's say going into Sunset, we'll let it get really rutted, gnarly. There's benefits, you know, to only riding one track. It sucks that that's all we have now, because we used to be able to go 45 minutes and ride Nakona, you know, 30 minutes and ride Oak Hill, which these were old national facilities. But, you know, it's just the way it is in today's time, which sucks. But, I mean, one day I'm going to try to get it big enough and get our community back together. And that's why I'm sort of doing these open rides and, you know, having these pit bike races and, you know, growing my network with these tracks and these people, because I would love to get a group of ATV guys together and go one weekend and get these tracks to open back up. And, you know, last year I got something really cool. We went to Georgia and this guy who was, you know, not anti-quad, but he was, you know, not big on him. He was like, oh, I don't know about that. And then he watched us ride and he was honestly pretty stoked about it. And I think he would let us go back, and Star Yamaha has been training there. So it's just, you know, it sucks, like I say, but it's, you know, something that I can work on, and hopefully we can get some places to let us back in.
That's great. Keep working on that. I think that needs to be done. You know, last year during the 2023 season, what was your favorite race?
Honestly, I really enjoyed Texas. The red plate was pretty nice to have there. But the track wasn't that great, but it was cool to go back to underground. You know, it's a serious high level track. It got rutted, but me and Chad had a good battle. He came back from his collarbone injury. It gator backed and kicked my butt, which was unfortunate, but it was really fun to battle with him. It was a battle the whole race. There were a lot of fun moments. Gatorback, I wasn't too impressed with when I watched the recap, not of the track, of my performance myself. I felt, you know, I got that chance. The leaders, you know, had an incident, and I felt, you know, I was the next guy up on the track, and I really failed to execute. I passed for the lead, and then I made mistakes, and I went to third, and then I went to second, and then I went, you know, was sitting around in second, and then I passed for first, which was, you know, great at the end of the day. I guess the results, only thing that matters, but just the performance, I was like, oof, Bryce, you could have done a little bit better there. But last year was a fun year. The only race I did not enjoy was Loretta's. It's the worst the worst Loretta's has ever been. I don't know what happened. I know the rain, obviously, but it was so weird. It was literally one line around the whole track. And if you got out of that one line, you were done. And it was unfortunate because I got a terrible start. And it's like, you know, somebody who just trains for this all their life and, you know, this their main goal is to try to be the best, or, you know, they get in a point situation and the track's one lined. It's very unfortunate and it's quite frustrating. You know, I get we all had to deal with it and I could have got better starts, which is on me. But it's just, yeah, Loretta's was not a track for me last year, but the year before I loved it. So, you know, I try to like them all.
What was the difference between the 2 years?
Just the rain. I mean, it got, what I think happened is people were running mud tires and it was like iffy if you should run mud tires or not. You know, it was starting to dry out and I chose to run regular tires and my bike was just dragging everywhere. And the guys that ran mud tires got away with it because the track didn't get deep enough. But it was just, it was one line. You landed jumps, you were in a rut, you took off a jump, you were in the same rut. You couldn't, you know, they didn't really scrape it. It was just, yeah, honestly, a disaster.
Where did you end up finishing there?
The first moto, I got like ninth. I was like, what am I doing? But it wasn't bad. I got I was dead last off the start. And like I said, the pass there was terrible. The second moto, I ended up fourth, which isn't bad. But when I'm looking at the points, you know, I got a 1 point gap on Chad at this point. In the second moto, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, I have everything to lose at this point. If I make one mistake, it's all over. I led for 18, you know, I was beating him 18 of the 19 motos out of the year, and then I'm going to blow it on the last one. But yeah, we made it work. It was fine. It just wasn't the best track this year.
So other than Texas, no, okay, let's go back to Texas. Let's go back to the red plate. And look at that smile. It says it all right there. But you got that red plate. What was going through your head? I mean, you're the first guy to carry the red plate besides Joel or Chad in 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, I just, like I said, I was at the right place at the right time, and I was the one who executed. You know, I felt fortunate. It was a good feeling. And yeah, it was just something that was, you know, boosting my confidence a little bit. When I was at the house, I had, you know, I got the red plate graphics, which was cool. You know, it was exciting to ride every day because I wanted to, you know, stay the red points leader, the red plate holder, points leader. But I didn't hold that for long, but it's all right. It's a start, you know, it's progression from where I've ever been. I've never had the red plate. I've never won a moto. But yeah, it was, you know, it's a really nice feeling. It's something, like you said, nobody else has had except for those two for the last 30 years. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I just felt fortunate, grateful. And it really helped me just be excited to ride every day and really push. And yeah, unfortunately, I followed for 22 minutes at Underground both motos, but we live and we learn and we grow.
Did you save the plastics off of that machine?
Of course. Of course.
Where are they?
We got like 30 sets of plastics hanging around now. We got the Wavos one. We got the Underground one. I don't think we kept the Gatorback or the Pleasure Valley one. But yeah, I see the Wavos one every day. The whole bike pretty much plastic wise is up on the wall. I think Mark still has the red plate one. Hopefully he doesn't sell it to somebody by accident or throw them away. No, I'm just kidding. He'll just lose them in his shop because he has so much stuff. But no, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know he held on to those. I asked him. But yeah.
Is that something at some point that you'll be putting up in your museum for your career?
Of course. I'll hang it on the ceiling fan.
So your dad and mom are pretty into this, right?
Yes.
What do they have you guys keep for memorabilia for themselves?
I mean, they're super big on that. They love everything. I mean, our trophies, obviously, champagne bottles. They try to keep as many bikes as they can. Jerseys, my gear from both nations, both years there. Just anything they can, magazines that we're in, you know, calendars, whatever. They're big on that, which is, you know, going to be cool. I'm sort of living in the moment, obviously, just trying to be the best I can, but it'll be cool. And like this video thing that I've started, it'll be cool to look back on it, you know, in 10, 20 years and say, you know, I was trying to be the best. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to be the best, but yeah, it'll be cool to look back on some of that stuff and the great memories that I've had so far. But they're big on keeping whatever they can. And we try to keep, you know, funny broken parts, like, you know, a wrecked front bumper or a broken shock, you know, just silly things, but stuff that has some meaning to it and, you know, could be a good memory in 10 years.
So the bikes that you won on as an amateur, did your parents keep those?
They kept the Apex 90, which I won on that. And then there's a KTM 250 in there. We have one of those, which I broke my hips on, sort of really changed my racing career, put me at a point to where it was like, you can either, you know, rework for this and try to be the best where I felt, you know, I was before I hurt my hips, or just, you know, not do anything. And I decided to race again, came back on that exact bike and won the rest of the year and then won the whole next year. So I won 3 titles on that bike, broke my hips, changed my life. And then we have the Team USA one from 2021 or 2022. Yeah, 2022. The 2023 one, we kept the plastics, but I'm going to use the bike this year as a race bike. Just so I have a broken bike at Daytona, not something really rigid, really stiff, and I'm comfortable on it.
That's great. I think that's awesome that you save a bunch of that stuff. Are you looking forward to Daytona this year?
Of course. Like I said, I've been working on a lot of starts, and last year there, I did start good, which was great. But the start's really important there, and yeah, I hope the weather stays clear, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm not really thinking about Daytona too much. Obviously, that's what I'm training for, but I'm just taking it day by day, trying to improve, focus on myself, and not really worry about, you know, what the track, what the weather looks like, who I'm racing. You know, I sort of already know that stuff, but yeah, I'm just, you know, each day, a day at a time, and just really looking forward to trying to be better this year and make it happen. Hopefully, you know, go through this whole year strong, not have a bad race and put myself in a good spot.
When you talk about getting better, one of the things that we never talk about is mental preparation. As you've gotten older and as you've matured, because you've matured a lot since the first time I've spoken to you until today, what do you think you could tell the youth about mental growth and your mental preparation as you get a little older?
Honestly, like, this isn't mental preparation, but this is just things that the youth could do. Just be consistent with whatever you do. In racing, try to ride as much as you can, you know, work out when you can. But there's nothing better training-wise than being on the ATV. And it really helps you. I feel like at the race, you know, you're confident in your machine. you know, work on starts, really, you know, perfect that, because that's a lot of racing. And whenever you hit the pro level, it's definitely a nice thing to start up front, and it'll make it a lot easier. But mentality wise, just enjoy it. If you're not pro yet, even if you are pro, I would just enjoy, you know, wherever you're racing, enjoy, you know, your family being able to be there. If your whole family's not there, enjoy, you know, spending time with your brother, your sister, just whatever. Honestly, you say that, and I've been like looking back on, you know, racing memories, just like Huevos, for instance. I didn't, you know, really know what I was getting into, but it, you know, the memories from that, and just, yeah, just, there's so many great things, and just don't ever take anything for granted. Just be grateful. You know, you're able to race, your parents are there supporting you, you know, you're, yeah, just anything, just, you know, enjoy it. It's all for fun. It is serious to some people, but at the end of the day, we're all having fun. You know, we're trying to, just win a plaque, but never give up, no matter what anybody says. I've been probably, you know, one of the most, I don't know if I would say doubted, but, you know, talked down on, just, you know, people don't, you know, want to see me be successful. I'm not sure why, but, you know, it's something that's motivated me. At the end of the day, I try to be, you know, the best person I can be. And, you know, I speak to God and, you know, let him take some of the moments in his hands, and he's always taking care of me. And, you know, that's something, you know, I'm just grateful for, and a lot's changed for me. This is just something way different, but just mentally, racing is such a small part of my life. And I got to see that last year when, somebody that's, I would say, like my best friend, and I really care about, JL, he had a bad wreck at Bud's Creek. And, yeah, I wasn't really sure where his mental state was at, where his health was at. And that really made me, you know, step back and just realize racing is such a small part. Just enjoy, you know, every moment with anybody you're with. Try not to really hate anybody, because that's a little overkill. And just, yeah.
So the maturity aspect that you're speaking with, because the first time that I met you, you were a very serious, focused individual. I'm not saying you're not serious now, but you seem like you have a total different demeanor now as far as being more relaxed and more open than you did before.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I've sort of found myself, you know, and I've got to become myself. There are people, you know, there are people who are always have something to say about you, you know, and I always used to be, I wanted everybody to just, you know, whatever, like me, you know, I tried to always be nice. And there are some people that just, even if you're nice, the best person you can be, it's just never, you know, enough, or it's not going to work for them. But yeah, I've just been doing my thing, you know, had great people around me, and have great people around me still. And sort of just do my own thing, love myself, try to take care of myself the best I can, and just, yeah, be the best racer I can. I really want to be a role model to the younger, you know, kids. I feel like I've been through a lot in this sport. As everyone knows, we're not making a ton of money anymore. But, yeah, it's just something, a passion of mine, and I want to show other people, you know, it's not about money, it's not about how fast you are. As long as you're a good person at the end of the day and you're enjoying what you're doing, you know, it's something that can last forever. And I truly have a passion for this sport, and I want to see it, you know, go somewhere. And that's sort of where my attitude's changed a bit. I've just opened up and, you know, been myself and just put in the work, and the successes came.
That's awesome. You know, speaking of the Huevos race, you kind of had a trendy graphics kit on that bike.
Yeah.
Have anything coming to set the internet world on fire with any trick graphics? I mean, your 2023 Quad Cross of Nations bike was beautiful. You know, the one that you had that you did the video on that was red.
Yeah, yeah.
that bike, they were just incredibly beautiful. Even the bikes that you raced over in Italy were beautiful. Yeah. I was just wondering, what do you got on the bike?
Honestly, the holographic stuff, the Wavos kit was really cool. It was a, you know, Ian just had got that type of material, I think, at that time. And it's something that he mentioned about. And I was like, hey, would you mind if we, you know, do that? I think I saw it on Justin Barsha's bike, and it was really cool. And it stood out really well. And under the lights, it was really cool in person. But I sort of leave it up to Ian's crew. He does a great job, and I can't thank him enough for everything he does. He always takes care of me. And yeah, honestly, I'm not really involved with that anymore a ton. But I don't really know what my kit looks like. I did a photo shoot the other day. It's chrome, but it's not much different than the year before. But yeah, well, I'm sure we'll have something cool. I wish they still had the pink out race. Maybe we could do a military kit again this year. But yeah, there's always something cool. Maybe Daytona do something nice. But yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
I think the best kit, like we talked about a minute ago, was the underground one. You know, the kit with the red plate was really nice. We could do that for a couple rounds. That'd be great. That'd be my, you know, my nicest kit.
Well, it's always nicer if you have the red plate, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is. Well, we'll see how you come out of Daytona and roll into it. You mentioned your brother has started a business, and he's progressing in life, it looks like. Is it changed a little bit? Because when you go to the starting line, there's a chance that your brother at some point in the near future may not be on there with you?
He sounds like he still wants to race and everything like that. Like I sort of said earlier, I've been taking every day. I ride day by day. I try not to think about that, cause that would be unfortunate. That's something, you know, that's always been nice. And even just riding at the house, it would affect me more. I feel like training every day, day to day, even if he's went to riding more on the weekends now. And riding as much as you can on the weekdays, but it would affect me more day to day training. Because yeah, it's somebody that's, you know, we can, you know, ride pretty hard. We've always, you know, ridden together, so I can trust, you know, where he's going to go and his ability, you know, when something happens, if we're side by side or whatever. So the racing side, yeah, it would be unfortunate, of course, but I feel like it, where it really affect me personally, is the day-to-day like training stuff. But it would be unfortunate if he didn't, you know, race anymore, because, you know, we need everyone there that we can get. And yeah.
Is there any rivalry between you and your brother?
No, I would never have a rivalry with my brother, even if we were first and second. If we were first and second, honestly, this is like 100% the truth. I wouldn't care if he won or I won. I feel like, you know, we're family. And if, you know, one of us are successful or we're both, you know, doing great, that's great.
That's so cool. That's so cool that you can feel that way and have such a tight relationship with him. It seems to me like you guys have been doing a lot of stuff your whole life together.
Yeah, pretty much. We've raced our whole life together. And like I said, that's 90% of our time. And we've trained together since we started taking it serious when I was 14, 15 years old. So we've done a lot together, had good times. And it's something that, yeah, I don't really want to think about, you know, if it ever ended or when it ended or why it ended or how it ended or, you know, long story short. I enjoy, you know, him racing and him riding with me. So something I'm grateful. And I hope he keeps going because it helps me a lot.
Hey, brother, it was awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it. And keep interrupting those saying hi to the Instagram live shows. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Of course.
You know, it's nice.
I'm loyal. I'll always show up. No matter who it is, I always try to, you know, support. Because that's what I want people to do for me. Show a little support, you know, and help grow my platform. So I'll always be there to help, you know, support and grow others.
I appreciate that. I hope to come and see you guys this year and come to a race and spend a little time with you guys.
Sounds like you need to come to that Legends race.
Working on it, brother. Working on it.
They got all the OGs coming out of retirement.
Doug Eichner's beating up on me to have a machine ready for him.
Is all I'm telling you, if John Natale's there, I'm riding with him.
I guarantee Natale's going to be there.
Yeah, if John Natale's there racing, I'm putting the money on him.
I think Natale's in good enough shape. He could come out and race with you guys today.
God dang, after that Wavos thing, I was worried.
I was like,
John, we're going to have to reprogram the ECU to where you can't beat me.
Don't let the flapper valve open all the way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty awesome stuff, brother. Hey, again, thank you so much. You know, tell the family I appreciate them letting me borrow you. Have a great night, and I'll be in touch, Bryce. Thank you so much.
The team here at ATV Talk would love your feedback. Please email us at hello@atvtalkpodcast.com. San Diego's Body Evolution and Wellness Center. With over 17 years experience, Dr. Heidi looking out after all your chiropractic needs and Coach PJ looking out after all your fitness needs. Visit our website, www.bodyevolution.org, or call for an appointment, 619-987-8875.
If you're in need of a consultation for your current racing program, a custom ATV, or an industry guest speaker, I have the company for you. Duncan Technologies International, Inc. offers host, MC, and guest speaking services at events. Builds custom ATVs for recreational riding or racing around the world. And they offer consulting services for professional teams or individual racers. Send inquiries to DuncanTechInternational@gmail.com or call 619-716-1532 for more information. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, don't forget to share us with your family and friends. The podcast is available on all streaming platforms, and you can find us on social media as ATV Talk Podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter